Y'all pray with me, please. Almighty God, we give you thanks this day for this opportunity, this moment, this gift in which we are able to be your people, to raise our voices, to shout our prayers, to be your people. God, we pray your Holy Spirit would continue to guide us in this time, that you would till our hearts, that you would prepare our minds to receive your transformative word this day, that we would be changed, that we would grow in our likeness of you, and that we would gain a better understanding of what it means to be your church, to be your people. God, we pray for all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good to be back with y'all. I told Tanya, I said, man, it feels like it's been like 3 weeks or something. And she said, well, you were there not that long ago. I was like, oh, that's right, I was there. I didn't preach that day, so it's like I wasn't there. But it is good to be back with y'all. Over the last couple of weeks, Pastor Ricky has been walking you all through our sermon series, Christians Under Construction, where we have been paralleling the idea of Christians being built, of disciples being built, and how that is mirrored in how a building is built. 2 weeks ago, the first Sunday of this series, he talked about the idea of being invited into a life of faith by Jesus, that invitation, and how that invitation creates dreams and hopes for more. And how in a similar way, whenever we first get that dream, that idea that we could build something, that we could do something more, how that is paralleled in those two. And we see it just across the way. Every time we walk out of these doors, we see a hope and a dream being built. Not because it's being built, but because of the hope and the possibility that this tool offers us as a church. Last week, I paid testament to the power of technology. I listened to Ricky's sermon online, which you can do that, by the way. It's usually up every Monday. So I listened to his sermon, and he talked with you all about this idea that we can't do it alone. Just because you have a dream, just because you have a hope, just because you have this aspiration to do something amazing, it doesn't mean you can do it on your own. Sometimes you need an expert, a master designer, a master builder, an architect, as it were. And if I heard correctly, I couldn't see it. You know, we don't do video, but we do audio. But I'm pretty sure I heard the plans for the building hit the table. You could hear, he said, look at these plans, Ricky said. And you just hear like a on the table. And I went, oh, man, I think he got the big old bundle out. A bunch of blue and white paper. I've seen it many times. It's a lot of paper. I don't know about you all, but I can only think of a few people that even can read that, little the less design it. It's tremendous work. And yet it's the work that needs to be done to make sure we build something that's going to last, that's going to accomplish the task we set out for it. You need that architect. You need that master builder. In the case of our faith, that architect is Jesus Christ. The plans are the scriptures and the teachings of the church that God has given us. So what's next? If we know what we know so far, that there's a dream that has been built, an idea that has been planted, we know that we need someone to help us take our dreams and our hopes and put them on paper. What's the next step? Who's going to build it? How's it going to get from paper to concrete? How's it going to get from pencil to brick? You need someone to construct your idea. You need a crew. And when I listened to Ricky's sermon last week, he said something that, you know, it really applied to the sermon of last week, but it's something that holds true for the entirety of the series. Ricky said, life is not a do-it-yourself project. You can't take your hopes and dreams and put them on paper without the help of an expert, and you cannot build a disciple on your own. We We cannot encounter Christ on our own and hope to be built and formed into a fruitful disciple of Jesus Christ. So, if building disciples is not a do-it-yourself project, who builds disciples? How does that happen? Who is the construction crew for building the people of God? Hear this verse. It comes from Acts 2, 42 through 47. Here's what it says. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to their community, to their shared meals, to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day, they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. The Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. Amen. There's power in this scripture. Honestly, this is, if it's not definitely, it's like in the top two or three of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible. Because it does so much to help us understand who we are and why we are as the church. So take a second to listen to this as we're going through this. Starting at the beginning, I want you to catch the pronouns that the writer is using. So it says that the believers, not the believer, not an individual, but a group, a people, a community, the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to the shared meals, and to the prayers. And a sense of awe came over everyone, not someone, everyone, all the people gathered together. Because all the believers, again, this plural, there's a community, there's a people, they're all the believers were united. And what did they share? Everything. Not something, not one thing, everything. We're at five. They would sell pieces of property and possessions to everyone who needed them. And every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They, simplicity, they praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. And every day the Lord added to their community those who were being saved. 13. 13 times in just 6 verses. It's about a community. It's about a people. It's about a group. Not an individual, but a group. Now, there's a podcast I listen to pretty regularly on Christian leadership. And one of the phrases they say every week is that the church is God's plan A for building disciples, and there is no plan B. The church, that's us folks, the church is God's plan A for building disciples, and there is no plan B. There is no plan C, there's no plan Z, there's no plan 1, there's no plan 5. There is one plan for building disciples of Jesus Christ, and we are it. So who builds disciples? We do. It's the church. The people of God build the people of God. That's how that works. Now, I don't know about you all. I've spent a good chunk of my life in the church, close to 3 decades. And sometimes I wonder, what makes the church so special? What is it about the church that differentiates us from any other nonprofit, from any other group? And if we're the ones that are called to build the people of God, what are our qualifications? Sometimes I wonder. And it's not just you all, like it's me. I wonder, you know, am I really equipped to do this work? Is the church, was it a good idea to make us your one and only plan? Because I got to wonder. Jesus, that was a sure bet. But the church, I don't know. So what makes the church special? Second, and the third and the fourth word in verse 42, it caught my mind. I was reading through the Greek New Testament, going through Acts, and I came across this word. The word is proskarterentos in Greek. Proskarterentos. See if we got it up there. See, I didn't think it was going to work. I also put the actual Greek in there so you could see it, but it's just more confusing. That's confusing enough by itself, right? That's the English transliteration of a Greek word. Proskarterentos. And here's what it means. It means they, you can't take the community out of that word. It's wrapped up in the word. They held fast to, they continued in, they persevered in, they devoted themselves. That's what's at the heart of this word, is this idea that they took everything they had and they continued in continuing what they were called to do. That's what's at the heart of this word. It's the passion. It's the heartbeat. It's the soul of the church. That's what this word is telling us. This is what the church is all about. This is the drumbeat. This is the hope. This is the promise of the church. So what is it? The first thing it tells us is the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That is to say, the church is devoted to teaching Jesus. That is our number one priority as the people of God. We are called to teach Jesus, to tell the stories of Jesus, to tell the why of what Jesus was doing. That is our goal. That is our main thing. If that is all we get done, we're doing a good job. But sometimes we get distracted. Maybe instead of teaching the life of Jesus, you want to teach my life. Or you want to teach how the world, and not what Jesus did for the world. Amen? Sometimes we get caught up and wrapped up in our own business and our own understandings, and we forget that the heart, literally the blood of the church, is Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to teach. That's who we are called to be. We're called to teach Jesus. That's our devotion. That's our heartbeat. That's what the church should live and die on, is teaching Jesus. And teaching the teachings of the apostles. That's the first thing it says, though. It continues. It says, the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community. Isn't that interesting? Maybe it makes sense why I counted all those pronouns at the beginning. Because Jesus didn't come to die for you and you and you. Jesus came to die for us. Jesus came to die for the world, for everybody. So it's not this Jesus and I walking around and we don't need anybody else for the rest of our lives. No, it's we need the church. We're called to love the community and to be in the community. And we see that because we understand that the church is not just devoted to teaching Jesus, but the church is devoted to living like Jesus. Scripture tells us that foxes have dens, that birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And the people of God who choose to follow that Jesus must prepare ourselves not to be comfortable. After all, he's making it sound like the foxes and the birds are going to have an easier time than we are if we truly follow Jesus wherever Jesus is calling us to go. That means going into dangerous waters. That means going down roads that might seem scary or uncertain. That means living a little dangerously sometimes. If we are going to be the people that be these disciples who build disciples for the transformation of the world, we can't just talk about Jesus. We have to live like Jesus. Want to know why people call so many Christians hypocrites? Because we talk about Jesus all day long and we don't want to lift a finger to live like he did. Now here's the next thing it says. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community. This next part you're going to like. To their shared meals. That's the third one. When I first saw that, I was like, oh, I can remember all these church potlucks. You know, There's a saying that says where two or three Methodists gather, a chicken dies. That's right. Them casseroles are real, yo. And I don't know if you've been to one of our big suppers, but man, there's spreads. Not just chicken, you know, but there's chicken, there's cakes, there's pies. Woo! Time is it. Not lunch yet. But that's not what it's really getting at. It's not just about the sharing of meals. It's about what that strikes at the heart of. You see, the church is devoted to sharing like Jesus. And I don't know if you saw how Jesus shared, but it looked a lot like this. Jesus gave everything. Literally, his blood and sweat and tears built the church, made our salvation a possibility, and brought into reality the people of God. And yet, how many of us like to share? Let's just look at this meal thing, because I think there's something to say here. When's the last time that somebody came to our church, was looking for a way to get involved, to get connected, to learn more, and you didn't just say, hey, I'm going to take you for dinner somewhere, but I'm going to invite you to my home. I'm going to have the intimacy and the openness to open my door, to cook a meal for you, to serve a meal to you, and take my time, the ability that we have, because we cannot get it back. There are no investment returns on time. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to take my life. I'm going to take my presence. And I'm going to share it with you. Because Jesus didn't just die on a cross. Jesus shared life with people on the streets. Jesus shared life and meals with people in their homes. Jesus held nothing back. He gave everything for the sake of God and for the building of the church and the building of disciples. So the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to the shared meals, and lastly, to their prayers. They devoted themselves. They continued and continuing in their prayers. The church is devoted to praying like Jesus. It's a funny, you know, the fastest way for a pastor to silence a room full of Christians? Brothers and sisters, who would like to open us up with a word of prayer this morning? 9 times out of 10, even the crickets stop chirping. Just nothing. Silence. I don't know what it is. I think we're afraid we're going to say the wrong word or do the wrong thing or mess it up. Maybe in our heart of hearts, we're afraid we're going to demonstrate just how shallow our prayer lives can be. Maybe that's what's at the heart of it. And a couple of years ago, I got this idea in my head that I wanted to write a curriculum. I wanted to write this book, this study. It's called Basic. And I've taught it here a couple of times. And the very first thing I wanted to accomplish was I wanted people who came out of that class to no longer be afraid to pray out loud in a group full of Christians. After all, if you can't pray with your church family, who are you praying with? Who are you? You are afraid to pray in front of your sisters and brothers in Jesus Christ. Prayer ministry is another one. I can talk to just about any clergy, and this holds true for our church as well. There is no ministry harder to get off the ground than a weekly prayer meeting. Even our own prayer ministry here at this church, you can talk to Tanya, you can talk to Margie, a lot of the people involved in CareCorps and our prayer ministry. When they say, like, where two or three are gathered, like, man, thankfully, because sometimes it's two or three that are gathered. Sometimes it might just be one. But there's something in the church that says, I'm afraid to pray. But here's the thing, when I ask people, do you believe in the power of prayer? I say, of course, Pastor. Do you believe that prayer makes a difference? Of course I do. Do you believe that when you pray, God hears you and answers your prayers? By the grace of God, God responds to our prayers. So why aren't we praying more? If God is so good and prayer is so powerful, why aren't we praying more? You look at the ministry and the life of Jesus and how Jesus prayed. And Jesus prayed with passion. Jesus prayed with gusto. Jesus went by himself to pray. And Jesus led people in prayer and taught people how to pray. Literally, that's what the Lord's Prayer is. It's Jesus teaching the apostles how to pray. And yet we're afraid to pray in church sometimes. We're afraid to pray in a Bible study. No, the church is teaching the life and ministry of Jesus. Of a church is living out the life and the ministry of Jesus and what they do and what they say. Of the church is sharing like Jesus. Not just the periphery, but down to the heart, down to our homes, down the church is praying like Jesus. Don't you think we might make disciples? Don't you think if we were doing all these things that we might make disciples of Jesus Christ who will transform the world? Because that's the mission statement of our church. Not to talk about making disciples, not to have potlucks, as fun as those are. It's to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That is our mission as part of the United Methodist Church. That's what we are called to do. And if we could get our passion, get our desire, get our devotion where it's supposed to be, then we would make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Amen? Do we believe we can do that? That's the enthusiasm. Do we believe that we can be the church of God? We need the enthusiasm. We need the passion. We need the devotion. We need the proscriturentus. That's why I brought that word up. That they would continue in continuing in. That they would hold fast to. That they would persevere in. That nothing would hold them back from this mission. Because when they did it, God added daily to their numbers. Lives were shaped. People were transformed. And because people are being transformed, the world is being transformed. So who builds disciples? We do. God's people, the church, builds disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world by doing the work of the church. And what's our job? Teach Jesus, live like Jesus, share like Jesus. When we can do these things, then God doesn't need a plan B. The church can truly be God's plan A for making disciples, and there is no need for a plan B. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the ministry of the Word. Thank you for all that you have given us, that we might be the people of God. That we could live into this reality, that we could live into this identity to be your people. Because God, there is no other construction crew. And we are called to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We cannot do it alone. We need the power and the work and the gifts of the church. So let us be your church, God. Call us to what you will. Build us as you will. Use us as you will. We ask all this in the name of Jesus.